Begin the current daf Masechta Yoma daf Yud Beis. Begin on the top line of the Gemara, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And that is, the Gemara had a stira, a contradiction between two different brises. What is the halacha regarding a Beis HaKnesses that does not have a separate apartment for the chazan HaKnesses, for the tenant in the shul? Is such a shul applicable for halachas both of mezuzah and particularly the Gemara was talking about regarding the halachas of a nega? Does that apply to Beis HaKnesses or not? One brise says that it does, another one says that it doesn't. So now the Gemara had three terutzim. The third of the terutzim differentiating between where the shul is located. If it's a shul of krachim, of cities where many people come from all over the place because the marketplace is up there, then we said such a shul is going to be exempt from the halachas of nega because it doesn't fit the criteria that has to be bais hamayuchid. It has to be distinct for particular individual or individuals. So therefore, in such a case where it's not because everyone comes from all over the world, therefore that would be exempt from the halachas of tumas nega. In contrast to the case of a basic nesses of kfarm, of a village, where the people that are always there are the same people, and therefore we know who the people that are the participants and the owners in the shul. And therefore that is considered like an apartment of shutfin, which would be applicable for the halachas. It's still considered meyuchid on some level, and hence it would apply for the halachas of tumas nega. Now, on this, the Gemara asks on both assumptions in this third teretz of the case of that krachim, the shuls in a metropolis, is not mekabel tuma, and also the fact that by kfarm it is mekabel tuma. So first, the Gemara asks, "Ude krachim, is it really true that a shul in a large city where people come from all over, that ain metam b'negoyim, that such a shul does not contract the tuma of negoyim, and as we said, because there's no distinct bailim, to can be considered the owners because people come from all over the daven in the shul, but Tanya learned the brisa that seems to contradict this. The brisa quotes the pasuk in Vayikra that talks about the pesukim in by nega by tzaras says achuzaschem, that it's in reference to houses that are in the land that is your inheritance. Now that the brisa says achuzaschem etam negon, it's only things that are your inheritance they contract the tumas of a nega. The Ein Yerushalayim Tam Negoim, however, Yerushalayim will not contract the Tumah of a Nega. And that is because this Tana holds that Yerushalayim is not an inheritance, that is, it was not split up, as other Tanoim hold, into different tribes that got parts of Yerushalayim that is either for Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin. Rather, all Shvatim are considered equal, an autonomous area called Yerushalayim, and since it's not Achuzaschem, it's no one's inheritance in particular, so hence it's not including Achuzaschem to become Tamei, even if it has a Nega, that will not have the halachic status of a Tumas of a Nega. Amar Yehuda, Yehuda says, Ani lo shamati. He says, I didn't hear such a halacha, and that's because he held that Yerushalayim was split up and it was divided amongst the Shvatim, and therefore it would be considered Achuzaschem, it is inheritance for particular individuals. He says, the only thing I heard was Elamokim Mikdash Bilvad. The only thing I heard was the place of the Mikdash itself, which is because when David purchased the Gurin, the threshing place, from Aravna, Hayavusi, so then he collected the money to purchase the plot of land for the Beis HaMikdash from every Shevet, as the Gemara says in Masechet Zvachim, Atav Kofteh Zayinim Beis. So therefore, there it would apply, yes, that would not apply to the Halachas of Nega because it wouldn't be Achuzaschem, because everyone has a fair share over there. Now, the inference of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that only Mokta Mikdash is not disqualified from the halachas of Tumah of Nega because that would not be considered Chuzaschem. Habatik and Nesis of Bat Midrashas. However, the shuls and the Bat Midrashas of Yerushalayim, which Yerushalayim is a krach, it's a city where everyone comes from all over, it would be Metam Negam. It would contract the Tumah Negam, V'yavagav de Krachem Ninu, even though it is a city where everyone comes to. And that contradicts what we said before. We said that by Krachem, that's not going to be included. And the halachas of tumah of a bayis, because it's not a bayis that's miyuchid for a person, because it's not miyuchid because everyone comes to this shul. But yet we see clearly that Yehuda says Yerushalayim will be makabel a tumah of a nega, all the houses there, which include even the shul or bais medrash. It's only the makom mikdash that he held was the exception. Now the Gemara says Ema, Amr Yehuda should say that Rabbi Yehuda said ani lo shamati ela makom mikudish bavad. There's an extra vav over there. In other words, in pronunciation, it's not mikdash but rather mikudish, and that is all sanctified places. I heard that yes, there that would be excluded from the halachas of tumah v'nega, which that would be not only the mikdash, but also batei kenesis and batei midrashas, that they would be exempt from the halachas of nega, and therefore that wouldn't contradict this teretz, the third teretz that the Gemara gave on the previous daf, that krachim would not be makabel tumah of nega. Now the Gemara, once it introduced this machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama, the Gemara asks, "B'mai kamifchi? What are Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan arguing about?" regarding the rest of Yerushalayim. So we said that it's not a difficulty on that because he holds that the shuls are also going to be exempt from nega. However, regarding the rest of Yerushalayim, they seem to be arguing about, is there tumas nega on the rest of Yerushalayim or not? What is the machlokes about? So now the Gemara says, Tanakama Savar, the first opinion holds, Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim. And Yerushalayim was not split up, it was not divided amongst the tribes. Hence, it's not a chuzaschem, it's not an inheritance for any single person. And therefore, that would not be included in the criteria that's written in the pasuk for it to be mekabel tumah nega. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, he says, no, Yerushalayim nischalka l'shvatim. Yerushalayim was divided, just like the rest of Eretz Yisrael, amongst the tribes. Hence, it is considered achuzaschem, and that's why it is mekabel tumah by nega. Now, the Gemara says, uba'plukta tana tanoi. Actually, this machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama is the same as a different pair of tanoim who argue on this. The Tanakama, like, learn a braisa. Ma hoya b'chalka shal Yehuda. This braisa asks, what was in the portion of Yehuda's tribe? So on that, and this is in regards to the area of the Beis HaMikdash. So Yehuda's part, and this Tana obviously holds that Yerushalayim was divided. Now, how far did it go? So it was Har HaBayis, the Temple Mount, coming from the east. Halashaches, the different rooms that were there. V'hazaris, and the courtyards. And that is, if you're coming from the eastern side, so you have the whole open area of the Temple Mount coming up. You have the entire area of the Ezra's Nashim. Then the area of the Ezra's Yisrael comes next. Then you have the Levin Amma area, which is where the Kahanim were allowed to go further than where the Yisrael non-Kahanim were allowed to go. And then that's where that Levin Amma ends. That's where the Mizbeach begins. Now from there towards westward was in the portion of Binyamin. As the Bryce says, Umahayu b'chalka shal Binyamin. What was in the portion of Sheva Binyamin? So you have Ulam, the antechamber, Behechel, the sanctuary, Ubeis Kachar Kachim, and the holiest of the holies. Now, between Yehuda and Yamin, there was Vritzua Haisi Yaitse Mechelka Shah Yehuda. There was a little strip that went out from Yehuda's portion. V'nechnesis l'chelka shal Binyamin. So although it would seem like, you know, it stops over here and then it starts Binyamin, there was a little portion that came out from Yehuda's Sheva that went into v'nechnes l'chelka shal Binyamin, went to the part of Binyamin, in other words, westward on the Temple Mount. Uvahoy Mizbeach Bonai. Now, where that Amma part was, that's where the Mizbeach was built. And that is part of the area where the Mizbeach was built had a strip of Yehuda going on the southeastern part of where the Mizbeach is. And as it says actually in Masechet Zvachim, is that it was only an Amma, a strip, and not more. Now, that's the area where the Mizbeach was built. In other words, the area of the Yesod, the foundation. The Mizbeach had on the bottom of it an Amma Yesod that was on the bottom. Now, that is why there was no Keren, there was no horn, there was no Yesod there on Mizrachis Deraimis, on the south and the east. By that area, there was no Keren because that's exactly where Yehuda's part was. So essentially, the whole entire Mizbech was by Sheva Binyamin. But because it might have had that Yesod there. The reason why it didn't was because that's where Yehuda just jutted in for that Amma and took part of that land. And that was where it jutted out from Yehuda to Binyamin. Now that, the Raisa tells us, Binyamin HaTzadik Hoi Mitzdar Leah Levola B'chol Yem. Binyamin HaTzadik was pained by this vision that he saw that Shevet Yehuda was going to take over somewhat of the area of where his Mizbeach, quote-unquote, his that was in his land, was supposed to be. And he wanted to swallow up that Amma strip that was jutting in so that he could have the entire area of the Mizbeach over there. Similar like it says a pasuk in Devarim, regarding Shevet Binyamin, Chayfif Olav Kalayim, that he hovers over him the entire day. Now the interpretation of, in this context of Chayfif, means to like scrape, like someone that's scraping and scratching because he can't get what he wants. So that's, so to speak, what the Binyamin HaTzadik was doing. And because he was so pained by this, Lefikach Zacha Binyamin HaTzadik, that's what Binyamin HaTzadik merited. V'nasu Ushpezich Negvur, he became the host to the might of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means that the Aron HaKadosh was in his portion, which was in the Kachar Kachim, where that was in Shevet Binyamin's portion. Shnem, like it says in the Pasuk over there, Uvein Kesef of Shachin, that between his shoulders, that's where he rested. That's a reference to the Shechina that was there in the Chelik of Shevet Binyamin. Now, so obviously that this Tana of this Brisa, although we're talking about something else regarding how it was split up, but obviously that this is, the Beis HaMikdash is in Yerushalayim. So obviously if we're talking about that Sheva Binyamin has this part and Sheva Yehuda has this part, that they held Yerushalayim was divided and different Shvatim got different parts. Yehuda getting this part, Binyamin getting another part. Now, that's one Tana. The high Tana, and then we have another Tana, which we're going to quote, that Sava Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim, holds Yerushalayim was not subdivided amongst the tribes. And that's the Tanoim that we said that argued in the same machlokes as Yehuda and Tanakama regarding if Yerushalayim was nischalka l'shvatim or not. The time like learned a brisa that it's not considered achuzasim, that it was not subdivided amongst the shvatim. The brisa says ein maskirin batim Yerushalayim. One is not allowed to lease, to rent houses in Yerushalayim, to charge for it. Lefishay nishalayim, it's not theirs. You don't own the land. The land is owned. It's an autonomous area owned by everybody. But let's about tzadikaimer. He says afle mitis. You can't even rent out beds when someone comes to stay in Yerushalayim. Now, lafikach, therefore, oris kachim, the hides of karbanis, which are the shalmei chagiga and the shalmei simcha, that the oil regalim come and they slaughter and they eat over there when they come to Yerushalayim, bali ush pezichnin noitlin oisim Israel. That's why the host would take it forcefully, because since they couldn't charge for anything, but they had to make money for hosting the people, so they would take it forcefully. Now, related to this, about bayis, is shmamino, what we could hear from this is that although they took it forcefully, but Eirich Ara, it's customary and it's proper, lemishpik inish, that a person should leave over gulfa, which is a jug made of out of earthenware, which he has his beverages inside of it, umishcha, and the hide of his animal that he slaughtered and he ate in the house of the homeowner, that he should leave it lushpize to his host. And that's like we see this idea that they would take these things because that they felt that it was coming to them because they were hosting them, so although they couldn't charge, but it coming to them. So therefore, that's what Abaye says. You see that it is proper to leave these things over when one leaves from the house of his host. But what we see from here is, obviously this town holds that it was not divided, and therefore it's everybody's land. And that's the same achleikis, again, regarding if Yerushalayim is considered achuzaschem or not, if it was divided amongst the shvatim or not, that everyone has a fair share in it, would be the tali in that machleikis of Yehudim Tanakamam, if we say that the batim Yerushalayim are makabel tumas nega or not. So that resolves that question that we had started off the daf with, regarding that if krochem are, that the shuls in krochem are not being metamim the goyim, we answered that question and we said that it will not be metamim the goyim. However, now the Gemara asks in the reverse. Udikfar mi metam ben goyim. Is it really true the other way around, that a shul in the village is mekabel tuma? Because that was the teretz that we said a krochem. That's how we resolved. One brisa said that a shul is mekabel tuma. The other one says it's not. And we said that it depends. A krochem it's not, and kfar it is, because there it's distinct. We know who the owners are. It's not like a krach where everyone comes from all over the place. But that thing by time when the brisa, it's passing a yikra that says lachuza. Now, this pasuk is in reference to the Negoim, as it says over there, Asher ani noisin lechem lachuza. The Braisa says, Atshi yichvishu oisa. In other words, the Tumah of Nega only applied when the Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael, when they had finally vanquished the enemies and had conquered the land, when it's finally their inheritance. Now, even more so is kavshu oisa, if they had already conquered the land, but they didn't yet separate it amongst the tribes, or even cholkul l'shvatim. They separate amongst the tribes, but v'loy cholkul l'beis avos. They didn't subdivide it yet to the different families that there are in each tribe. Or even chol kolabis avos, they separated for the families. But ve'in kol echad markas shalei, each individual doesn't yet know which is going to be his part that his family got. Minayin, how do we know that it still would not be metama tumas nega, that it would not be considered achuzaska? Tamaleimu uvar shalei bais, that's what the pasuk teaches when it says, and that his, who it's his house, will come to the house, which is in context of the nega. The drasha is, mishim yuchad lai, it's only a tumas nega would apply to a house that's distinct for this person. Yatsu elu sheim yuchanlei, that excludes these cases where it's not specific for this person because he doesn't know either that it's from his tribe or from his family or even that it's his. Now, so the question is, even though we had explained in the previous daf, which was that third teretz in the Gemara, that there's a difference between krochem and kfarim, that krochem, we have no clue who's part of the shul, and therefore it's everybody's. Whereas a kfar, a village, is we know who it is, and hence we could say it's considered miyuchad. But here we see in the brights, it's not true. We see miyuchad has to be every individual who knows his house. It's not enough to know it's a group of people that have these houses. And therefore, how can we say that even a kfar, that it would be mekabel tumas nega? Therefore, the Gemara says, Ella, you're right, machvarta, it's clear, kadishnim mikara must be like the other two terutzim that the Gemara gave there before. For example, like one of them was that it's only if there would be a base tira, then it would be considered chayiv, because that would be considered a bias because of the chazna knesset that lives in the shul. But you're right, without that, even a shul from a village, we follow from the third teretz in the Gemara, would not be considered a bias hameyuchid for an individual to be able to makabel a tumah of a nega. Now the Gemara returns to the beginning of our Masechta, to the first Mishnah, that we said, we spoke about the Hafrash of the Kohen Gadol 7 days before. But we also said, we prepare another Kohen just in case if something's going to happen. There's only one person that could do that void, it's the Kohen Gadol. If something happens to him, we have to have someone ready just in case. Now the Gemara explains as follows. Pshita irabai, it's obvious to us that if something happens to the Kohen Gadol of a psul, that on Yom Kippurim he becomes invalidated from doing the Avodah. If it's Koidin Tumet Shel Shachar, if that happens, let's say he has a Tumas Keri, he has a seminal omission, if that happens before the morning Karban Tumet, then Mechanchen Oisa, then we train in the new Kohen that's taking the place of the former Kohen Gadol, B'Tumet Shel Shachar, with the morning Karban Tumet. And that is, he does the Karban Tumet with the Shemayim Begadim, with the eight garments that only the Kohen Gadol wears. And that itself is what's Chinuch, which means it trains him in to becoming the Kohen Gadol before he has to actually do the Avodah of Yom Kippurim, which starts afterwards when he does it with the Dalet Begadim and he does all the other Karbanos, but Tumet Shel Shachar is done every single day. Now, however, Ela Irubay Psul Achar Tumet Shel Shachar, what happens if the Kohen Gadol, let's say, has a Tumah that happens after the Tumet Shel Shachar? Now, with what are we going to inaugurate the new Kohen as Kohen Gadol? And that is because the Avodah of Yom Kippurim starts after the morning Karban Tumet. He does that with the Arba Begadim, with only four garments. Now, with what would he now be recognized as the Kohen Gadol if he never was Kohen Gadol before now? How does he remove himself from his status as a Kohen Hedid, as a regular Kohen, to say that now he's a Kohen Gadol and we're doing it with a Kohen Gadol? He looks like a regular Kohen Hedid, because every Kohen Hedid wears the four garments that the Kohen Gadol wears on Yom Kippurim. So if it was before Tumet Shel Shachar, he's wearing the eight garments. That's Mechanachim. It inaugurates him. That's part of that process. So now he can go ahead and do it because we know he's a Kohen Gadol. But if it happens afterwards, he looks just like he looked a few hours ago, wearing the same garments he wore a few hours ago as a Kohen Hedid. So I think Gemara gives a few different approaches. Omer Vada Bar Ava says, Be'avnet. It's with the belt that he wears. And that is, although he's wearing the four garments that every Kohen Hedid wears, but there's a difference between what a Kohen Gadol wears with his belt and the way a Kohen Hedid wears. And that's because the belt of a Kohen Gadol, when he does the Avodah Kippurim, is made out of linen. As the Pasuk says in the Yikra Perek as well, Uva'avnit bad yachker. Now, up until now, his belt was made out of klayim, a mixture of wool and linen. Now it's only made out of linen. And therefore, that change of his belt signifies that he's the Kohen Gadol. However, the Gemara says as follows. That only makes sense according to the opinion, we'll quote this on Amud Beis, that says that the belt of a Kohen Gadol the entire year was made out of klayim, as the Pasuk says, it was made out of twisted linen with tcheles, which is made out of wool. So according to the one that says that the belt of the Kohen Gadol the entire year, which is made out of klayim, zehu avnei tishal Kohen Hedid, was the same belt that the Kohen Hedid would wear all year round too, that there was no difference between their belts. And therefore, that means the Kohen Hedid's belt was also made out of klayim. So now in Yom Kippurim, there would be a recognizable difference, although he's wearing the same four garments, the new Kohen Gadol, as all the Kohen Hedid's, but there's still a difference in the belt. Because the belt of the Kohen Gadol changes in Yom Kippurim to be linen, which now he's wearing because he's the new Kohen Gadol, because after Tumet Shel Shachar, the previous Kohen Gadol became Tameh. And although he's wearing the same four garments, which is the pants and the tunic, all the same four, but there's a difference in the case of the belt. Elamad the Amar, but according to the other opinion that Gemara is going to quote later on, that Avnita Shel Kohen Gadol, that the belt of the Kohen Gadol in the rest of the year is Loi Zehu Avnita Shel Kohen Hedid, is not the same as what the Kohen Hedid also wears the rest of the year, because the Kohen Hedid's belt is not made out of klayim, it's made out of linen. So that comes out that on Yom Kippurim, their belts are the same. So then, Ma'ikla Meima, what are you going to be able to say, again, what would be recognizable in this individual that he's the Kohen Gadol to do that Avodah? Again, according to one opinion, it makes sense, because now he's changing, no one ever wears linen. But according to the opinion that says the rest of the year, there is a discrepancy between the Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedid. Kohen Gadol wears klayim, but the Kohen Hedid only wears linen. So now when the Kohen Gadol actually switches to linen, then he's essentially wearing the same thing a Kohen Hedid wears. And then therefore this person, how is he being recognized as a Kohen Gadol if he's wearing the same garments he wore just before? Some Abai gives a different approach according that's necessary for that opinion. And that is, before he starts doing the Avodah of the day, which would, if it happens after Tumet Shel Shachar, would be going straight into the Avodah of Yom Kippurim, which again would be wearing the same garments he was wearing before as a Kohen Hedid, he's Leivishmoina. He first puts on the eight garments. Now, what's he putting it on for? There's no actual Avodahs that are required today anymore with eight garments because he already did the Tumet Shel Shachar. He's Umahapach. He then goes and takes. He goes to the outer mizbeach, to one of the limbs of the Karban Tumet, which was put on there just before by the previous Kohen Gadol who became Tumet. And then he twists it over Betinura with a metal fork, which that is considered a chelik of avoda because he's making the parts of the animal that are on top of the mizbeach burn quicker. Hence, that's an avoda. And now he's doing avoda with the eight garments. That is signifying that he's the kain gadol. Okay, Rav Huna said that a zar shahapach b'tinur. If let's say a non kain would do the same thing, take a metal fork and just move. To turn over one of the limbs of the carbon tumah that are on the mizbeach that are burning, and he turns it over, he's chayiv misa. He's liable to death because of the isser of b'hazar karav yumas. The zar that comes closer to do that avodah dies. So obviously, from that halacha, we see that just turning over and making it burn a little bit quicker is considered an avodah. And so therefore, it comes out that how is he inaugurated to be the kohen gadol? Because he by putting on the eight garments and doing an avodah, although it wasn't a necessary avodah, but ultimately he's doing an avodah. That inaugurates and demonstrates that he's the kohen gadol because he was wearing the eight garments. Another approach the Gemara gives, Rav Papa Amar, he says that we continue to Amud Beis. He says actually that avodase mechan chasim, the avodah of Yom Kippur itself inaugurates himself, and that's because we know that the avodah on Yom Kippur is only kosher to kohen gadol. So by virtue of doing that avodah, you're right, he looks the same as he did before. But who's doing the avodah? Only kohen gadol. That in itself creates him as an entity, as a kohen gadol, because Miloy Tanya didn't learn the Braisa. Kol HaKeil Meshasa Maisha, all the vessels that Moshe Rabbeinu made. So when they started off, Mishichasa Mikachasan, the anointing with the Shemen HaMishcha, that is as the Pasuk says in Bamidbar Perek Zayin, V'yimshachim Mikadashasim, that sanctified it. Now, however, Mikan Ve'elach, after that initial time, they didn't anymore anoint the new vessels that they made over there. As the Gemara says in Masechta Shavuos and Neftes Rav Manav, it says, Eisam b'mashicha, only they were anointed, but not future vessels. And therefore, avaydasin mechan chasin. What then inaugurated these vessels to be considered kodesh? It was actually using them for their service that made them into klei sharis. So, Achanami, here's the same idea. The avaydasin mechan chasin, actually just doing the avaydah, creates him as the entity, as a kain gadol, and that is what was mechanachim, not with shemayim begadim, and not with doing, and not with changing a belt, but rather just by the virtue he looks the same as he did before, wearing the same garments, doing the avodah creates him into the entity of a kain gadol. Now, related to what we were discussing, that it was mentioned this machloikis regarding what was the different belts of the kain hedyot and kain gadol. So the Gemara says that ki asur avdimi amar. When avdimi came, he said, Avnetel shel kohen hedyot is a machlekes. The belt of the kohen hedyot is a machlekes. What it was made out of? We have Rebbe, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. Chadama one said shel klaim, that it was made out of klaim like the kohen gadol. Chadama shel bayitz, and one said it was made out of linen. So now the Gemara wants to say tistayim de Rebbe hu damer shel klaim. Let us prove that it was Rebbe's opinion because it wasn't attributed to who it was. That he's the one that said that the belt of the kohen hedyot was made out of klaim, out of the mixture of linen and wool. The time like linen of Raisa. Ein bein kohen gadol kohen hedyot ela avnet devi Rebbe. Rebbe says the only difference between the kohen gadol and kohen hedyot was their belts. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon Eimer afloi avnet. He says no, even the belt was not a difference between the kohen gadol and kohen hedyot. So now the Gemara wants to know, Amos, what is this case that, for example, Rebbe is saying that the difference between the two of them is only their belt? If he say it's in reference to the rest of the year, and that is, we know the kohen gadol, his belt would be made out of klayim, and that Rebbe's saying that their belts are different, and that the kohen hedyot, his belt was made out of linen, but how could you say it's talking about during the rest of the year? Tuva ikka. It's not just a belt that's a difference between the kohen gadol and kohen hedyot. What do you mean? You have kohen gadol mishamash b'shmon. You have a very blatant difference between the two of them. The kohen gadol would wear eight garments. The hedyot b'arbon, the kohen hedyot would wear four. So how could you say that the only difference between them is what their belt is made out of? Say elalav. What you have to say is b'yom kippurim. That obviously we're saying that the difference between them on Yom Kippurim, the only difference because they're both wearing now four garments, is in their belt. And that obviously what Rebbe's saying is that the kohen gadol's belt we know on Yom Kippurim, as the pasuk tells us, was made out of linen. So obviously what Rebbe is saying is that the kohen hedyot's belt was made out of klayim. And that's why, because we know the kohen hedyot's belt didn't change in Yom Kippurim. So that means all year round his belt was made out of klayim. So we have a proof that it was Rebbe was the one that said the kohen hedyot's belt is made out of klayim. Nothing where it says Ami, they said loy. No, it's not a raya. La'olam, you could say b'shayim ha'sashana. Really, that statement of Rebbe was going on the rest of the year. And that, to the contrary, a kohen gadol's belt was made out of klayim. And that what Rebbe's teaching, that the belt was different between the two of them, is that because the kohen hedyot's belt was made out of linen. But now the question was, oh, what do you mean? If it's during the rest of the year we said, then tuvik, there's a lot of differences. Why would we say that the belt is the only difference? And that is what the Gemara answers, ubahanech deshavim. We meant to say, regarding the garments, that they do shear. You're right, there are different garments that Kohen Gadol wears that the Kohen Hedi doesn't wear. But those that they do shear, the only difference between them, because they wear, they both have the kasainis, the tunic, they have the pants and the hat and the belt, those are the four that they shear. The only difference in those garments is in their belts. And that is because in that is what we're saying, that Rebbe could be of the opinion that the belt of the Kohen Hedid is linen, and that of the Kohen Gadol the rest of the year was made out of klayim. However, Kiyasa Ravin Amar, when Ravin came, he said specifically, he was clear, he said, Avnetish shel Kohen Gadol b'Yom Kippurim, he says, regarding the belt of the Kohen Gadol b'Yom Kippurim, Divri HaKol, as the Pasuk tells us, everyone agrees shel boitz, it was made out of linen. B'Shayim HaSashana, as it's also explicit in the Pesukim, Divri HaKol shel klayim, everyone agrees that the belt of the Kohen Gadol is made out of klayim. Lo Nechalku, their only machlikus was, El Avnetish shel Kohen Hedid, regarding the belt of the Kohen Hedid, B'Yom B'Shayim HaSashana, B'Yom B'Yom Kippurim, since the belt of the Kohen Hedid did not change, the machlikus was whether the rest of the year and Yom Kippurim, what that was made out of. Shirebi, I mean, Rebbe said, and here he says clearly that was Rebbe that said shall climb, that the Kohen Hedid's belt was made out of forbidden mixture of wool and linen. Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, I mean, shall boitz, and he's the one that says that it was made out of linen. And that is essentially Ravan and Rav Dimi are both saying the same thing. The only difference was that Rav Dimi did not specify who was what said what. And Ravan says explicitly that it was Rebbe that said it was Kliam, and that is the other opinion that said it was made out of linen. So Amar of Nachum Yitzchak, he says, that we also learned a brisa that supports this, that it was Rebbe, that he was the one that said that the belt of the Kohen Hedid was made out of klayim. Because there's a brisa that says, quoting a pasuk in Vayikra, that says, al besarai, on his flesh. Now, that pasuk is in reference to Trumas Hadashim, which was done in the morning when the Kohen would come and take a shovelful of the ashes on top of the Mizbeach and take it off and put it into a certain pile. So it says within the pasuk in the Vayikra Paragvav, V'lav ha-shakoyin midevad, that the Kohen will wear the clothing that fits him, u'michnes evad, and the pants of linen, yilbash al-besari, he'll wear on his flesh. Now, it should have said, u'michnes evad al-besari, that the linen pants were on his flesh, because it already said in the beginning of the pasuk, V'lavash, that he was wearing. Why does it say the term of, as the Gemara asks, matam alemi yilbash, what does the extra word yilbash come to teach us? So there's a machlekes. The first opinion says, Lehevi mitznefes va'avnit la rumas hadeshin de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, the reason why it says yilbash, it makes it sound like there's many putting on of getting dressed of clothing, which comes to include that when he's doing the avodah of trumas hadeshin, not only does he have to, as it says in the pasuk, of the midevad and of the mechnesayim, meaning of his tunic and of his pants, but he also has to have the hat and the belt. In other words, what the pasuk is teaching us is that the Trumas Hadeshin is considered a full-fledged avodah, and therefore, like every avodah that he does, the Kohen Hedid has to wear all four garments. Here he also has to wear four garments. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says the extra word yilbash comes to teach us. Rabbi Daisaimer, he says, Lehevi bigde Kohen Gadol b'Yom Kippurim. What the pasuk is teaching us, since it says in the context by the Kohen Gadol, it says yilbash, and here also regarding this pasuk by Trumas Hadeshin, it says yilbash. What it comes to teach you is that the begadim of a Kohen Gadol that he does the avodah in Kippurim is, and that's because the same four garments that the Kohen Gadol wears in Kippurim inside Lefnei V'Lefnim are the same four garments that a Kohen Hedid wears. And that, he says, Shein K'sherin L'Kohen Hedid, is coming to teach us this idea that the rest of the year, the Kohen Hedid could wear those same four garments that the Kohen Gadol wore in Yom Kippurim. And what he's coming to exclude from is a different opinion that the Gemara will shortly quote, is that it says in the pasuk v'nichim sham, that after the Kohen Gadol finishes doing the avodah Yom Kippurim, lefnai v'lefnim, inside the kodesh kashrut with the four white garments, and that is from the Kohen Hedid wears, he leaves it over there. Those are the words v'nichim sham. So it doesn't mean that, as the other opinion holds, that you have to bury it and you can't use it anymore. What it means is that he can't use it for another Yom Kippurim. However, a Kohen Hedid could go ahead and use it. It doesn't have to be buried. Now, on that, Rebbe says, Shtei Tshuvas B'Davar. He says, he responds to Rebbe, he says, there's two problems with your opinion. Chada, Davniti Shekohen Gadol B'Yom Kippurim, the belt of a Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim, which is made out of linen, Loi Zehu Avniti Shekohen Hedid. What are you saying that a Kohen Hedid the rest of the year could wear those four garments, which are the same that they share when the Kohen Gadol is done with Yom Kippurim, but it's not the same belts? Because the Kohen Gadol's belt in Yom Kippurim is linen, and the Kohen Hedid's belt for the rest of the year is klayim. Now, that is what proves that we're saying Afanan Avetanina, that it was Rebbe that held that the Kohen Hedid's belt the rest of the year is made of klayim and not of linen, and that's why he's saying that you can't use the Kohen Gadol's four garments in Yom Kippurim for Kohen Hedid the rest of the year because the belts are different. But Vilodi says another reason why there's a problem with your opinion is because begadim shenishtamish behen kedusha chamura, the garments that were used for such a holy sanctity, that is doing the avoid lef naiv lef nim on the kohen gadol yom kippurim, tishamish behen kedusha kala, should be used for a lower level of kedusha, in other words, the rest of the year in the kohen hedyit and not in the kachet kachim. So elamatam el yilbash. So what does yilbash come to teach us? He disagrees with Reb Doisa that is coming to teach that you can use the garments for the rest of the year. Rather, l'rabas is hashchokin. It comes to include worn out garments that yilbash is like including another putting on. What more are you including to put on? Even something we would have thought maybe not, which is worn out, it's coming to include that even though it's worn out, it's still kosher to do the avodah with it. Now, so that support again that idea that it was that Rebbe holds that it was the belt of the kohen hedyit that klayim not bites. But now, once we introduce Reb Deis's opinion, the Gemara says, if Reb Deisa that held that it is kosher to be used by kohen hedyit for the rest of the year, he goes according to his opinion that's mentioned elsewhere. The time, like we learned in the Brisa, that it says, the Brisa quotes a pasuk in Mayikra, that's in reference to the begadim that are used on Yom Kippurim. It says, ufashat es bigdei habadash alabash, that he will take off the linen garments that he wore, bevoya yala kodesh, when he comes into the kodesh. And it says over there, v'nichem sham, and he'll leave it over there. Now, that is a machlokes in the Brisa. Melamed to Ingeniza, the Tanakhama says, that teaches you that it has to be buried there, it has to be left over there, and that's it. No one could ever use these garments ever again. Reb Deisa Imir says, no. What it means that he leaves it over there is that the Kohen Gadol leaves it over there. Shalai Yishtamash ben Yom Kippurim Acha, that he can't use it another Yom Kippurim. However, a different person, a Kohen Hedyit, could go ahead and use it on a different time of the year. And again, that's what we said, that's Lashitasa, that he holds in the drasha of Anichim Sham, that it just means a Kohen Gadol cannot use it, but a Kohen Hedyit could use it any other time of the rest of the year. Now, Gemara returns to what we started off before, on the beginning, on the bottom of Amud Aleph, talking about that Maskin Lo Kohen Acha. They would prepare another Kohen just in case if something would happen to the Kohen Gadol. Although they separate him, he might become Tameh, and therefore we have someone else ready to become the Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippurim. So Tamar, we learn the Braiser relating to this. Ira by Psol, let's say something invalidating happened to the Kohen Gadol. Umina Acher Tachdav, and therefore we appointed someone else in this place to be the Kohen Gadol to the Avodah Yom Kippurim. Now, after the Kohen Gadol gets over his Tumah, and it's after Yom Kippurim, so what happens now? So now the Braiser tells us that Rishon Chayz Lavadasai, so now the first original Kohen Gadol, although he was Tumah and he couldn't do it, so he put someone else up to be the Kohen Gadol, he comes back and takes over his position. And Shani, Kol Mitzvos Kohuna Gedolah. Now, the second person that took the place on Yom Kippurim, he became a Kohen Gadol for a day, he retains all the mitzvahs that a Kohen Gadol has, and that is, he's not allowed to let his hair grow long, he's not allowed to tear his clothing, he's not allowed to be metame to his relatives, he's forewarned in the Torah about marrying a widow, and he has to, if he does the avodah in Beis HaMikdash, he has to wear the 8 garments that a Kohen Gadol wears. That's the opinion of Reb Meir. However, B'Yosi Emer, he says, yes, Rishon Chayz Lavadasi, the first Kohen Gadol, he goes back to do his avodah as a Kohen Gadol, but Sheni Eini Ro Loi LeKohen Gadol, but the second person now, it's a catch-22. He's not fit to be the Kohen Gadol, and below the Kohen Hedyit, he's not fit to be the Kohen Hedyit either. And what that essentially means is that he cannot do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, not with the 8 garments, and not with the 4 garments of a Kohen Hedyit. As Rabbi Yosi demonstrated, he says, there was a Maisa B'Yosef ben Elam B'Tzipari. There was a story with Yosef ben Elam, She'ira by P'sul B'Kohen Gadol, that something invalidating happened to the Kohen Gadol, U'minu Tachtav. And now Yosef ben Elam became the new Kohen Gadol. But Amr Chacham, the Chacham said, now, after it was post that Tumah, Rishon Chayz Lavadasai, so the original Kohen Gadol came to take back his position. Now, Shani, in a role of the Kohen Gadol, Kohen Hedyit. Now, this, Yosef ben Elam, he's not fit to be Kohen Gadol or Kohen Hedyit, as the Gemara explains. Kohen Gadol, Mishum Eva. He cannot maintain his position as Kohen Gadol because now there's this different fighting that's going on, this enmity, this hatred on some level between the two of them that, like, he's taking over his position, there's this competition over here. So he can't be the Kohen Gadol. But however, Kohen Hedyit, he can't either be go back to being a Kohen Hedyit, Mishum Ma'al Mekayzer Lemi Ridin. The famous klal regarding Kachim that you can elevate things in sanctity, but you can't demote them. So once he became Kohen Gadol, he can't go back to Kohen Hedyit. So he can't stay Kohen Gadol, but he can't go back to Kohen Hedyit. So therefore, he's neither. Now, Amar Rabba B'chanu B'yich, Namik Tin Tapa V'yid Gimel Manalv. Halacha is Kreb Yisi. Halacha is that, like Rabbi Yosi, that the first Kohen Gadol retains, goes back to being the Kohen Gadol. And the second one is neither Kohen Gadol nor Kohen Hedyit. However, Rabbi Yisrael would agree Shem Avar Ve'Avad, that if that second that had taken over the place of the first Kohen Gadol, if he goes back and he transgresses, so to speak, this Isra of Eva and does the Avoida with the eight garments as a Kohen Gadol, that Avodasik Shera, after the fact, his Avoida would be kosher. And the reason is because essentially he really is a Kohen Gadol. The only reason why the Rabbana said that he can't do the Avoida is only because of Eva, because of the hatred it will cause, this competition between the two Kohen Gadols. However, it obviously doesn't mean that if he does the Avoida with the four garments, that would be kosher, because there definitely would be puzzle, because then that would be considered lacking the garments, because a Kohen Gadol that does the Avoida with the garments of a Kohen Hedgit, it's invalid, and this person already is Milam HaKadosh, he's already Kohen Gadol, and he maintains that position. He just can't do it because of the Eva, but if he does it, after the fact, with the eight garments, it would be kosher. Similarly, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, he says also Halacha Kreb Yesi, that he can't be doing it with the eight garments or the four garments. However, Rabbi Yisrael would agree in a different context, in Mace region, if the first Kohen Gadol that he had replaced, that came back to take his position, if he passes away, that now this replacement goes back and takes over his job, being the Kohen Gadol. It's not that the Gemara asks Pshita. What I mean, it's pretty obvious. He isn't really essentially Kohen Gadol. The only reason why I said that he cannot practice as a Kohen Gadol because of Eva, which is only a rabbinic injunction because we're concerned about the fighting, but once he passed away, why wouldn't he be the Kohen Gadol? Now the Gemara says no, because it's not so simple. I would have thought to say that the Eva, this enmity that would exist between them, would extend so far that it should even invalidate him after the first one dies. Because if you would say that after the first one dies, then he could be the Kohen Gadol, so then I would say that Havilei Tzar Michaim, he would be competition for the first Kohen Gadol when he's still alive even. Because like two wives of one husband, which are called Tzaris, that he would be saying to the other Kohen Gadol that can't do anything now, he says, you're waiting until I die and you want to take over, right? Because you know that the second I die, you're going to take over. So there's going to be this enmity, even by not doing that Avodah, because he knows after he dies, he will take over. That's what the Chiddush is, that we're not concerned for such a thing. And that is because as long as he's not doing Avodah now, although he knows that when he dies, he'll take over, that's not enough for concern of creating Eva. And if he does die, then that one that had replaced for that day will ultimately resume his position as Kohen Gadol after the death of the first one.